Blog Talk Radio.
Military. Shout out to my man Ansel Jones, my brother Ansel Jones. The military. You know, the things I want to talk about tonight in this short time that we have, I'm going to condense it, are jobs, gangs, credit cards, drugs, prison, marriage, commitment, time, kids, church, money. But I almost forgot about, and I did forget about in the description, the military. The military catches us when we are 18 years old. And before you used to have to be 18 and had to have a high school diploma to go into the military, they used to catch you when you were 15, 16. You know, if you wanted to go into the army, especially if there was a war going on, you could drop out of school and go and fight. You didn't know what you were fighting for. All you knew is that it was American democracy. That's the only thing they tell you now. You're fighting against terrorism for American democracy. We don't know what that is, but you pick up an M16, go into the army, do a bunch of exercises, get your body in shape, and learn how to kill people for American democracy. And they even thank you for all of the bodies and the carnage that you've left behind. And they call you a hero. If you killed a bunch of people in any other scenario, they wouldn't dare call you a hero. They call you a monster. But when you're young, they can make you think that way. So it can actually destroy your mind at a very young age. And I'm not trying to diss the American military or any military for that matter. But the bottom line is you get caught up in the hype the American propaganda hype when you are young and you join the military. And you have to. You have to. If you don't believe in the American propaganda hype when you go into the military, you're not going to be able to make it into the military, because it is a strong, strong organization, a strong gang, a strong group, a strong club. And the camaraderie is like no other situation in the world. And it's a worldwide phenomenon. You know, the same army that we fight for in the United States is the same army in Israel and Palestine and parts of Africa, and definitely in Europe and, you know, Russia, Germany, France, England, Spain. So we, y'all starting early. Manifest reality, says. Moms had to stop them because the children don't know any better. Many were destroyed. Many came out built. What's that, built? You know, when you're young. But yeah, you're young. You're impressionable. They can shape the way that you think and call you to action because of that. Years later, when you start finding out, if you find out how politics work, how the government works, and you think about how you thought about, or how you were taught to think about things when you were 17 years old, or earlier, if you started going into ROTC, you know, ROTC, maybe 15, 16 years old, maybe younger than that if you went to a military academy, you know. Anyway, by the time you are 40 years old, 30, maybe even 30 years old, but 30, 40, 50 years old, you think about your mindset when you were young and you went into the military, or when you were young and you established yourself in the church, because a lot of young people establish themselves in the church. I'm going to start serving the Lord from a young age. Yeah. Church is a gang. They might be gangsters for the Lord, but they definitely do drills and they collect a lot of money. But I'm not going to talk about the negative parts of the church. I'm not going to do that. Not tonight. What we're going to talk about tonight is our role that we played when we were young and we got caught up and swept up and wrapped up in all of the hype of anything that we were involved in. Anything that we were involved in. Let's get it popping. Let's talk about it tonight, y'all. What's going on? How y'all feeling? This is the Daily Go Get a Mission Show. I'm your host, Sun752. I'm feeling like a real man should. And I hope y'all feel like real men and women should also. Tonight, we are talking about the things that catch you when you're young and you want to be down. I want to be down with what you're going through. If y'all would like to call into the show, be a part of the show tonight, I invite you to call in, and the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's a number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. Get your shine, baby. 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. Press number one is that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock on and do the damn thing. All right, so let's get it popping. Things that catch you when you're young and want to be down. Think about the things that you were wrapped up in when you were young, and I don't care how young you take it back to. Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you collected proofs of purchase out of cereal boxes when you were like 7 or 8 years old to try to get a prize. Mickey Mouse Club, superheroes, comic books. Think about the way that you thought about the things as far back as whenever you thought about wanting to join something. Sports teams. I forgot about that too. Sports. Kids get wrapped up in sports at a young age. And you say what you want to do. I mean, say what you want to say. If you are good at sports and if you compete in sports and if you are a team player, don't tell me that you never wanted to be down. Your teammates were like your family. You went out to war with them and were taught to go to war with them every Saturday if you played football. On whatever days your games were scheduled, if you played basketball or any other sport where you could play more than once a week. You went to practices. You bought, you know, your parents had to buy equipment and stuff like that. You went to team meetings. You were part of something. And it got you attention. Say whatever you want to, but it got you attention. You weren't one of those regular kids in the class. You went to practice afterwards. You were visible. You got trophies at the end of the year. And you may have even considered having a career in that sport. Here you are, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, already thinking about what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You're young and you want to be down. Some people stuck with it and made it. Most people didn't for whatever reason. Other things may have got you caught up. Hood issues. Hood issues. Things from around the way that you got swept up in. Think about how many girls started to have babies around the same time. Teenagers. Bunch of babies popping up. Whoop. Classrooms full of babies. Got caught up. And when you start giving birth to kids at a young age, you're probably caught up in love, relationships. Remember your first love? Remember your first love? You wanted to be down with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You wanted to be down. Let me lock it down now. Some of y'all actually thought that y'all was going to be with the love of y'all life at 15 or 16 years old. You really thought that love at first sight, love for the rest of your life, you thought it was real. And it was real in your mind and in your world at the time. Think about how the time changed. Think about how your world changed. Think about how your mind changed. Sometimes it changed voluntarily for you, and sometimes it had to change by other forces because there was nothing else for you to do. There was no other way for you to make it. What Janet Jackson said in Control, when I first fell in love, I didn't know what hit me. You know what I'm saying? That was a real thing. I heard that song when I was, what, she was 18. Wait a minute. That song ain't come out when I was no 14 years old. I could have sworn I was at least 15, 16 years old when that song came out. Janet Jackson is 4 years older than me. Because didn't Control come out in like 86? Let's see here. When did the song Control come out? When did Janet Jackson's song Control come out? 1986. I thought so. Because I remember hearing that song in the skating rink. Skate, 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 skate. When I first fell in love, I didn't know what hit. So she was already 20. But she was talking about what it felt like when she was 18. And, you know, I was 16. I turned 17, then 18, and I remember what I was caught up in. Now, I was never caught up in, you know, joining clubs and organizations, but I didn't think it was a bad idea. Honestly, I thought it was something that you had to do. You know, it was networking. It was a way for you to be around other people of like minds and for y'all to bounce ideas off of each other and make a way for each other, you know, give information to each other so all of you could be successful. So me thinking that I was going to be a doctor one day, I remember I was trying to join this organization called AFNA, AFNA. And you joined AFNA if you wanted to be a young professional, whether in the health field or business or law and stuff like that. It was good. It was good. I think it was a black organization. I believe so. Let me see. But when you're young, you really see the benefit of certain things. No. In this AFNA, this is Association of Federal Narcotics Agents. Let me try this. AFNA in Philadelphia. A National Education and Research Fund. Let me see. I think this is it. AFNA National Education and Research Fund. Okay. It was called American Foundation for Negro Affairs. That's what it was. Yeah. Wow. And the founder of it was Samuel Evans, and he died in 2008, and he was 105. Okay. That was it. American Foundation for Negro Affairs. So young kids could join this, and they would pair them up with doctors and lawyers and professionals in whatever field that they were trying to study, because they were all college bound kids, and you know, they would show them the way. They would give them the inside track on what they were to expect in their educational journey and in the field. So it was good stuff like that. So I was looking to join that kind of stuff, you know, get involved and get wrapped up in that sort of thing. It was a good idea. You know, because you figure when you're young, you're going to start to really get into this stuff. Get into it at a young age. When you're young, you're energetic. You're impressionable. You're passionate. You can't tell a young person that it ain't going to be the way that they think it's going to be. They all wrapped up into it, man. It's real. At least it seems real. It seems a lot. Think about it. When you were probably 12, anywhere between 12 and 30, everything seemed a lot more possible and real to you than it probably does now when you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s. Now it's like, you know, you don't want to be pessimistic, but you kind of think, kind of works out the way it works out. And the way that it kind of works out is kind of the way that it's always been. When you're young, the way that you think about change and the way that change happens is different. It's a lot different than when you get older and have faced disappointments and letdowns and negativity. It's a little different. Maybe a lot. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Hit the like. Make sure that you share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show. We're talking about things that catch you when you're young and want to be down. Jobs. Jobs. When you get a job when you're younger, you think like, yeah, I'm going to work my way up into this company. And I'm going to be making bank. I'm going to move out of the hood. I'm going to be living good. I'm going to drive a big car. I'm going to have me a pool in the backyard. I'm going to raise my kids. They're going to do much better than I ever did. I'm going to make this life forever. And I'm going to get married, stay together. Tell me you ain't never think like that ever in your life. If you haven't thought like that in your life ever, then that's probably sad. That's kind of sad. Because everything in our conditioning has driven us toward that American dream. Good job. Family. Solid family. Kids. Volvo station wagon, white picket fence, ways to pay your bills, live good, nice big house, having a way to be able to live your life in a way that is suitable towards being comfortable for the rest of your life, having a fair shot. A fair shot at the championship. Commitment. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Let me get back onto this Jobs thing. Because you know Jobs try to catch you. They like catching young talent. Young talent. Because they catch young talent because young talent doesn't know as much. When people are young at a company, they come in with these new, fresh ideas of how to run the company. You can get a lot of juice out of young people, and you don't have to pay them a lot. They haven't been paid a lot before, so you ain't got to pay them a lot now. It's not like that old head that been working here for 25 years, and he knows this company in and out. He knows what the possibilities are and aren't. You know, there's a certain pessimism to the way that old head, that established, that senior member is looking at things. First of all, that senior member ain't coming up with no new ideas. He's already established. He done seen the parade come and go. So he's going to toe the line. Oh, he can keep the company afloat. Yes, he can. But he's going to toe the line. That young person is going to come in. They don't know that the way the business has been run all of these years is this way. So they try to change it. They get in there with these new ideas. They want to implement this new stuff. They want to try new stuff. And some of the new stuff is good ideas. They get rid of people. They get rid of the old and bring in the new. After all, those old people are eligible for entitlements pretty soon, retirement benefits and pension. I don't want to pay that mess. Get them up out of here. Force them into retirement, early retirement. Some of them. Or some of them, you find ways to be able to terminate them. It's not personal, it's business. But it's going to feel personal because you've been working there since you was young. And this is how you've been taking care of your family. Starting all over at 40, 50 years old, after you've been working at a place for 20, 30, 20, 25, 30 years, it's not an easy thing for you to do. You don't have that enthusiasm. You don't have that same energy, that same optimism that you had when you were 20, when you were 25, when you just got out of college at 23 years old. It's different. You might have been job hardened, life hardened. So yeah, Jobs definitely try to catch you when you're young and want to be down. Let me show this company what I can do. Let me show them how I can take this thing off. Think about showing Puffy Combs at Bad Boy Records. Russell Simmons at Def Jam Records. Master P at No Limit Records. They all started doing their thing when they was young. They had these ideas. They revolutionized things in the record industry. Say what you want. People talk about Master P and they talk about Bad Boy and they talk about Death Row and they talk about Eazy-E with with Ruthless Records. You know, not a lot of people talk about Def Jam Records and what Russell Simmons did for hip hop. Do you know what kind of mind Russell Simmons had to have to have single-handedly got hip-hop to what it is today? And you have to credit Russell with that. You have to. Hip-hop was a fledgling, you know, art form that little black ghetto kids were doing before Russell came through and blew it up. Russell brought hip-hop to the main stage. He did. What he did with Run DMC had never been even close to being done before. There were plenty of rap acts before Run DMC. Look at the Sugar Hill Gang. All of the rap industry was on Sugar Hill Records with Sylvia Robinson. That was her name, Sylvia Robinson. She lived over in Jersey. So you think about Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and Sugar Hill Gang and the Crash Crew and Funky 4+1 and the Treacherous Three and everybody, almost every single rap act was on Sugar Hill Records. And none of them got paid. They all got jerked. You look at what Russell Simmons did with Def Jam Records. You know, he managed Run DMC because Run was his little brother and DMC was Run's bull. And, you know, they had some, they knew how to rhyme. And Russell got with Rick Rubin. And Rick Rubin was a musician and he could produce rap records. And so they established Def Jam Records. And Def Jam Records has been the biggest rap label and it still is probably. Quietly number one all the time. There's hardly ever been a whack rap act on Def Jam Records. None of the other labels can claim that. There was plenty of whackness on No Limit Records. Plenty. Ruthless Records with Eazy-E, they had JJ Fad. Above the Law. Well, the Law was okay, but I ain't gonna get involved. Bad Boy, come on now. Puffy just started signing any and everybody. But what Russell did over at Def Jam is why hip hop is what it is. Run DMC headlining tours that had not been done before. Russell did that. So, yeah. When you're young and want to be down, you fighting for your spot, locking it down, making sure that the world knows, the world feels your impact and that they know your name and that they have to cut a check. Let's talk about commitment. You know, going back to when, you know, we were talking about our first love. We were talking about our first love. When you thought that you were going to be with your girlfriend or your boyfriend forever, love will last forever. You might even had a baby when you was 15, 16 years old. And what did you say? More than likely, you looked at it like, yeah, I'm going to take care of my baby. I can do this. I can do this on my own. I don't need no, I'm going to do things a little different than my parents did. And that's whether you had a baby on purpose or whether you had a baby by an unplanned pregnancy. You know, you thought that you were going to get, I mean, you kind of got swept up in being a parent at a young age. I can do what hasn't been done before. At a young age. So what we got? We got sports. We got entertainment. We got your jobs. We got relationships. Marriage. commitment. What were you committed to at a young age? What were you committed to? Whether you were committed to your man or your woman, whether you were committed to your career and your job, whether you were committed to your gang. Gangs. You know, listen, if you know, it's so weird out here. I hear these rappers and entertainers talking about they Bloods and Crips, and that's not how they grew up. You was already making records and winning awards, you know, Chris Brown and people like that talking about, you know, throwing up gang signs. I'm like, what the hell? I don't remember no Chris Brown throwing up no gang signs when he was talking about get it. It's hard to believe. I mean, he can't be 18. He can't be 16. I don't remember that. I don't remember Chris Brown being no gangster. Gangs catch you when you're young. When you're young, when you're impressionable. Young. You know, 9, 10 years old, 11. Definitely while you're a teenager, things like that. And you're doing it maybe because there's an absence of a father in your house, parental guidance, or because, you know, your family structure just isn't set up the way that you need it to be, or because you need that protection. The gangsters were making it hard for non-gang members to be able to go to school, to be able to play in the streets, to be able to live out here. You got these 20-something-year-olds talking about, hey, now they Bloods and Crips. I'm like, what is you talking about? What are you talking about? You're still young in your 20s, but come on, dog. It's over. That's when you but when you get in your 20s, you are OG in a gang. They got no business out there trying to gang bang and all of that. Must be crazy. You must be crazy. Nigga, you crazy. Yeah, you might be. You just might be. No, I said Under the Cherry Moon was out too. Mm-hmm. We were into things. When you're young, you're into things. Your mind is ready to be molded. Everything seems real. I remember my baby brother in 1993 when the group Onyx was out. You know what I mean? Throw your guns in the air and bust them like you just don't care. Yeah. You know how. Yeah. Onyx. 4 bald-headed youngsters rapping all hard and acting all aggressive and talk about guns and fighting and beating people up. They stage diving and all of those. It was like, they was like a hip-hop rave. They was crazy. And I remember my baby brother, he thought Onyx was the greatest group in the world. He was like, oh my, you know what I mean? He was caught up in the Onyx hype. And I remember telling him, I'm like, they not going to be like that in a few years. It's going to be different. And I remember my baby brother getting mad at me like, I don't know what you talking about. You know what I mean? Because he could feel it. He could feel it. He could feel it. He felt what Onyx was talking about. He had the Onyx tape, not even the CD. He had the Onyx tape. And he used to let his tape pop. Tape rock till the tape pop. And a few years later, well, when Onyx wasn't what they used to be, he was like, oh, when you told me that Onyx, you know, probably, you know, wasn't going to be this, that, and the third of time, I was so mad at you. I said, man, baby brother, I understood. I mean, I felt that way about LL Cool J. You know what I mean? I felt that way about a bunch of, you know, hip-hop stars. You know what I'm saying? Like, It don't mean that they don't record anymore, that they don't do their thing, but it's hard to hold on to that feeling. You're young, impressionable, you want to be down. Shout out to all of the hip hoppers in New York and Philly, you know, running around here with their t-shirts, sweatshirts, jackets and stuff with the name of they hip hop crew on the back, carrying records into the parties, rapping on the mic, DJing, cutting it up, getting better. When I was 13, the name of my DJ crew was called Cut Masters of Funk. You know, we went and got our sweatshirt. You know what I'm saying? The iron-on letters. Iron-on letters, little Playboy joint. We had the Playboy. We had the money sign. Cut Masters of Funk. Yeah. Cut Masters of Funk. Yeah, 13 years old, 1983. Young and wanted to be down. I was down. I ain't mad at it. I would rather have been into something like that than to have been out snatching chains and beating people up and, you know what I mean? Getting sent to juvenile detention center and all that kind of mess. I wasn't built for that. I wasn't with all that. But speaking of being wrapped up in all of that, jail. Who catches more young people that want to be down than jail? Prison. Jail for MC assault. You was jealous. It's all your fault. Look at the prisons. They catch more 18-year-olds, 19, 20, 21. They catch you before you get out of there in your life. They catch you out there. They catch all of those young black males, especially when they're trying to be down. You in a gang, you want to be down? Yeah, prison for you. You want to steal and rob? Yeah, prison for you. You want to act wild out there? You want to carry guns? You want to? Yeah, prison for you. Prison catches more young people that want to be down than any other organization that I can think of nationwide. Lock them away. Now y'all can be down with each other in this box. On this block. Go ahead. Have at it. Do your thing, niggas. Prison. Man. And money. Chasing that dollar. Whether you work for yours, steal for yours, sell drugs for yours, rob for yours, whatever. Going after that money, young men, they know that women like a man with that got cash. How are you going to get the cash? How will you get the cash? Well, got to make a move here, got to make a move there. And getting money on the streets ain't an easy thing to do. The media makes selling drugs sounds like it's easy and it's fast money. Well, maybe there was a time where it was easier and it was faster. But it ain't never been easy for a person who wasn't all into it. And it ain't never been fast or fast enough to keep a person in it for decades. It's hard. It's hard work. Ansel Jones says, I laughed at gang members in the military. Yeah, shoot. They wasn't nothing against your gang. They couldn't beat y'all. They was playing around with guns. Y'all had government issue. Real weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. Chemical weapons, whatever you needed. It was all legal. Before you came on, Ansel, we was talking about the military and how you get swept up in the military when you're young. They catch you when you're young and impressionable. Until you start learning how the government really works and what it means to you and how it really affects the world. When you start going around the world and seeing how governmental practices affect other people around the world. And if you're a free thinking man on any level, get to thinking like, I'm in this thing, but I'm probably not in it the way that I was when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. At 25, 26, you start getting some years, start getting making a career in the military, you think of it a little bit differently. Might still want to be down. And I'm not saying that wanting to be down is a bad thing. Because if you want to be down with a good thing, then you want to be down. Listen, in order to make it in any industry, in order to make it in any practice, any group, or any organization, you got to be all in. You got to believe in it. You have to see that as being you, an extension of yourself. Ansel Jones says, we were old enough to sign the papers. Yeah, but many of y'all had to get your parents' permission in order to do that. Yeah, you was old enough to sign the papers at 18, but you signed the papers when you were 17. Yeah, that part. You signed the papers when you were 17. So by the time you turned 18, got out of high school, you know what I mean? It's time for you to start doing them drills, baby. Boot camp. Marriage. What about our young people who get married at a young age? We talked a little bit about commitment, and all of these things that we're talking about actually have a lot to do with commitment. But think about marriage. People be getting married 20, 21 years, 22. Anybody who gets married younger than the age of 25, you got to think like, whoa. So you really believe that you and your spouse are going to be together till death do you part, and you're under 25 years old. And some people kind of pull it off. Some people do. Other people, not so much. Not so much, you know? Divorce by the time you're 30. Divorce, maybe you were married 20 years. Got married when you was 22. Got divorced when you was 40, 42, 44, 45 years old. Now, you may have cheated throughout the marriage, you know, had an affair here and, you know, experienced infidelity, all that old shit. But the bottom line is you were established in the strongest institution recognized around the world, which is marriage between a man and a woman. Your whole young life. Some people look back on their 20s and their 30s, and they think, man, I wasted my whole years being married to this bitch. You had kids that came out of it. You had a home. You had assets that came out of it. And you learned a lot about life through the eyes of your marriage. It ain't a bad thing. It's a good thing, actually. But think about it. You were young and wanted to be down. When you get married at a young age like that, you want to show the world at a young age, I've already chosen the woman or the man for me, and we going to rock out, us against the world. We going to show y'all what young love is about, black love is about. You ain't seen the world yet. And you're going to be shown the world in a different way than you ever thought. But nonetheless, you got caught out there when you were young and wanted to be down. Church, young minister, or being active in the church, believing that the pastor of the church is really, really a man of God. His words are the word of God. His actions are all divine. Pastor gonna take us to the promised land. Pastor gonna take us to the promised land. Pastor gonna take us to the promised land. But he had four babies in the church. Five young girls, babies in the church. And stole a bunch of money. He drives a Cadillac, maybe a Benz. Got all the shit. Yeah, diamonds and furs. And he got a wife. And he also got church. Take him to church, baby. The Father. It's hard to look at the church the same way at 50 years old as you looked at it at 25 years old, at 20 years old, at 15 years old. It's hard to see it the same way. It's hard to see it, and that's whether you've been profiting from it or not. You know? We go to church, join church, pay our tithes because we feel and we've been taught to believe that that's tied into our salvation. We're going there to save ourselves. And saving yourself is establishing yourself. You want to be down with God, the kingdom of the Lord. And these are the people that are going to help us get there. And this here church right here, not just Christianity as a whole, this here church. Well, how'd that work out? How we doing, y'all? How we doing? Yeah, it's a little. It starts to get different when you're young and want to be down. When you're young and want to be down. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to read y'all comments, man. But I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all getting in here. You know what I mean? Yucking it up with me. We about to do these birthday shout-outs, man, but I appreciate y'all. Mucho. I wanted to talk about this tonight because this is real talk. You know? And that's not to say that, you know, at whatever age you are now, it's not to say that you become pessimistic, but your sense of realism may have really been developed and heightened, brought to the forefront. You know, you just can't be as starry-eyed about things after certain disappointments. You know, the reality of the situation, you know, starts to kick into it. Like, you know, you're talking about when you're young and into the church, you may have really believed that Jesus was coming soon. He's coming back, and he's coming back soon. You know, why you're here. You may not look at it that way anymore. Like, well, he's coming, but he's able to get here in different ways. So he doesn't have to physically come back. And he probably won't do that until the work of the world is done. And it would be kind of arrogant for me to think that that's going to happen in my lifetime because I'm not doing anything to make him come back. But when you was 15, you might have been thinking, Jesus is coming back, got to make up for all you lack. That's Yolanda Adams, if, you know, for all my Yolanda Adams fans. That was Yolanda Adams and Kelly Price. Jesus is coming back, got to make up for all you lack. All right, let's do these birthday shout-outs, baby. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. Woo! The 14th, baby. December 14th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Michelle Sanders, happy birthday to you. And also Rain Cummings, turning 36 years old today. And also Keila Brown, turning 50 years old today. And Teresa Williams, happy birthday to you. And Davia K. Spence, turning 37 years old today. And William Rose, turning 33 years old today. And Kayshawn Bay Allah, turning 63 years old today. And Diane X Brown, blah, 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 Brown, Brown. Go get a Diane X Brown. Happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my brother going all the way back to the 1982. This used to be my road dog in the seventh grade. My man Emmett Ross, turning 52 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all y'all. I hope that today finds you a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And anyone else out there who shares his birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious December 14th. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. Remember, I said remember, yo, man, you know what we talking about. We talking about when you're young and wanted to be down and they caught you out there. Well, a lot of times things caught us out there because we wanted to be caught. You know, we was like young puppies. We stuck our nose right in there. It smelled good. We ate it. You can say that we didn't know no better, but it's better, as best as we knew, we wanted to be in. And sometimes when we get swept up in our own desires and what we think is right and trying to get a foothold on things at a young age and really try to help others at a young age, we have some lessons that we have to learn. And you can't circumvent that process. There ain't nothing you can do. But when you think about where you've come from and where you are right now, you start to see that, wow, man, they got me. But don't feel bad because they spot you. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We learn things until we are adults so we can teach the youth. But is the youth going to listen? Is they? I don't know. I know this. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get-Em-ism show. So please come through and rock out with us. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. All right, so let's get it popping. Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. A year.